ride into this world all alone. You gotta take your soul, you're on your own. The crow flies straight, a perfect line. On the devil's bed until you die.
Hello and welcome to the Nattercast for Sons of Anarchy, episode 410, Hands.
I'm Sion Schenkel.
I'm Jason Schenkel of Schenkel Studios. And I'm here with Sion Schenkel.
I just had to get it in there
first. Had to get in there for the, you want to go first one time.
Yeah.
And we are here tonight.
All healthy marriages have a lot of competition.
A lot of competition. Let's see if I can say my name before you. Let's see who can be quiet the longest. And we are here tonight to talk about episode 410 of Sons of Anarchy, Hands. Oh, yes. And we love it. And before we get into it, let's get our contact information out there. You can follow us on iTunes. And if you would rate and write a review, we will be really happy that you did.
You can also follow me on Foursquare.
You can follow Sion on Foursquare and find out which coffee shops in the area she is mayor of. and which bubble shops and such.
Oh, yeah.
And the pharmacy.
I have several mayorships now.
Yeah, mayorships. You can also reach us at nattercast@gmail.com. We look forward to listener email every week.
And plus
we
got
some good email this week. We're starting to break, we're going to break out a little bit. We're getting some super fans. And it's in.
Oh, we've
it's
got
good.
Three
we got
super
a lot,
fans.
And we'll get to that later on when we get
yeah,
into
we
the show.
Yeah, we got some good emails.
And you can follow us on the Facebooks at Nattercast. Just search for Nattercast, and you'll see our little icon there, and you can come and join the discussion on Facebook. We've got three or four more members joined this week, and we're going to keep rolling and just trying to grow our little squad.
Or you can also join the Watchers of Anarchy.
The Watchers of Anarchy, absolutely.
Who are very inspirational. They have a
inspirational, and who have been very, very generous.
They have a really
active...
I'm really digging Mudball.
The Watchers have got a great conversation going on. We spent a lot of time there.
Yeah, we're having they're weighing, they have a great thread going on that I think people should join in on, trying to decide Clay's fate.
Yeah,
how
it's
going to
go down. Absolutely.
I'd love to see some
so
more.
So get into there. That's some lively talk.
Some more talk.
And we always like to call out to Courtney and Tracy and Brad. Because the Watchers have been fantastic in welcoming us into the club. So let's jump in then on Hands. So I get this is one of those weird. They're like, oh, this is gonna be a short podcast because it's like, dude, did you see that? That was awesome. This is like,
dude, did you see?
This is like the Chris Farley show.
It
podcast.
Was like all these payoffs.
Yeah, it's all these payoffs. So there's a lot like a lot of what's gonna happen next. speculation. It looks
now
like.
We know exactly who killed Teller.
Well, no, he says she did it. But that's this bullshit not taking responsibility. Like, you tricked me into doing it, is what he said. He did it.
Right.
For his own reasons. And it was about guns. Why would she have him kill John? Why not let John live? There's no reason for her to kill John. Just let him go. He had to kill John.
Well, she's... At the end of this episode, she's going to choose who gets to kill Clay.
Yeah, but unless John wailed on her face like that, I don't think she would have had him killed. I think she would have let him go to Ireland and just been with Clay.
With the Clay Irish needed, gash.
With a gash. Clay needed him dead, so I'm not buying it. But, we're jumping way ahead. And rolling out. I'm going to do more of a recappy thing, I think, because we're just sort of like, there's just so much awesome.
Go.
So we start with Clay and Gemma at home, and Clay has taken out 20, 30 grand for this kill, which is like, that's a cheap kill. For five guys.
No, that's not a cheap kill.
It's a cheap kill. It's not a cheap kill for one guy.
The last time I was shopping for someone to kill someone,
he's got a crew.
I could have gotten it for like five.
There
grand.
Were like five useless badasses in that van. Each of them is taking, $6,000 to commit a kidnap murder? Come on. It's completely
ridiculous.
There is
a recession going on.
Maybe, maybe Romeo's throwing in a little money on it too. It could be because he thinks it's his own.
I just love that we're discussing the economics of.
Have you ever seen the Iceman on the YouTubes? He's the hitman guy.
No.
So he was talking about taking $20,000-$30,000 to kill people in the '80s. Okay, this is 30-40 years later. I'm thinking it's going to be more like $70,000-$80,000 for kidnap murder. I think these guys are.
There's a recession. Honey.
But it plays. Well, it's a recession. This also plays into my theory that this is not the cartels. I've decided this is not cartels. This is Taco Bell.
Oh yeah, this, Jason's got this new theory.
I've got this new theory. It's like, these are the worst cartels ever. No wonder they're operating in California.
Because there are good cartels, apparently.
Well, no, I mean like the least talented cartels. Oh, there are good cartels. Have you seen the Zetas? The Zetas are decapitating people in chat rooms. If you get on a chat room, I've been following the cartels now. This like all these shows.
Oh great! Am I going to find your head in my bed somewhere?
No, I'm not. I mean, I'm just reading the news. The Zeta, apparently, they're the most psychotic cartels, and they've been hunting people down who are in chat rooms and decapitating them. That is some hardcore stuff. That is like you're on the, because you and I are on the internet. We argue all the time on the internet with balls and morons. And
on the internet, we have.
Can
to
you
fix
imagine
that.
If one of those like you know freaking red state cheese balls that we pick on Huffington Post came after us with a machete because we said something mean about Herman Cain? You know,
that's another
just,
thing we both have. Huffington Post.
Yeah,
And everything's under our real names because we're nutcases.
We're nutcases. We're San Francisco liberals. What are you going to do? You know, we play into the.
There's
part.
A reason we call this Natter Cast.
We like to natter away. Anyway, but I'm thinking, so like they brought Machete onto the show, and even Aceveda, and I was like, yeah, Machete and Aceveda, this is going to be, they're going to be rolling hardcore. They're going to be heads and. Pikes and stuff, and every single operation that these guys have tried to pull off has been an unmitigated disaster.
True.
A complete clown circus. Clown car. And so in the case of taking these guys could not kidnap a doctor, female doctor, who weighs what, 150 pounds? What do you think Tara weighs?
115 to 125.
So not even 150, 125 pounds. Mm-hmm. Like four guys in a van, and Jax, okay, admittedly Jax, but with a handgun you can get away from him. You know, and they failed completely. These are not the scary cartels. I don't know who these people are, but I think Clay's probably pretty safe on the cartel front. They'll probably trip over themselves coming after him.
I think they're scary, but they fumble.
They fumble quite
because
a bit.
Because I'm not so sure you really still want to experience what it is they are succeeding at doing. This menacing.
Probably not. I'm probably not. But we are seeing definitely their D game coming into California. I think these guys might have been kicked out of Mexico. I think Mexico might have said... You guys
are playing
really,
up to snuff.
This, I mean, or you know what it is, like bad employee review, and this is your last chance.
So now you have to go to the United States.
You have to go to the United States, and you have to make this thing work with the stupid Sons of Anarchy. And if you guys don't pull that off, you're not cartels anymore. That's it. So I think that's what's going on there. And this, but anyway, so we have Clay and Gemma, and Clay takes his money, and kisses her on the cheek, and says, and they do the I love you, you know, goodbye. And of course, there's mutual suspicion and everything, but. That's the last I love you. That's the final goodbye for these two characters. That's it.
Yeah, because we've had a lot of, a good chunk of the shows have opened up with lots of kissing and hugging in the different couples.
That's the last moment of affection. Yeah. And it was completely fake, but it was still a moment of affection. It was, you know.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's got to be it. I can't imagine, you know, after what we've seen, anything coming back together for the two of them. I mean, this is over is over. And another thing, I gotta hand this out to Kurt. You know, a lot of times on these shows, I love a lot of these different kinds of shows. There, you know, that everything's unsaid and everything is subtle and this kind of thing. There is no ambiguity here. This is a guy who's got some balls on his show. It's
Mr.
like,
Sutter.
I'm taking the character to this point, and I'm not, there's not going to be some like, will Gemma find out and all this other stuff. We've been doing that for too long, and now he's just pounding on these characters, and I'm really enjoying it. And then Jax is going to head out up with Tara and the kids, and Gemma doesn't think it's a good idea or whatever, and she says, this is great, she says, you're on parole, you can't go out of state. And it's like, I just blew up a gas truck in Arizona. I think we have long ago, you know, stopped worrying about parole officers and shit like that. And Oregon is nothing, you know.
Well, he is trying to be a civilian.
He's trying to be a civilian,
you know,
but she doesn't know that.
A
she doesn't
bit
want
of
to
shift
be civilian.
There, his
you know?
Posturing around that.
Yeah. So it's like, I, you know, yeah. Oh no, yeah, they're gonna catch me at the Oregon border, you know, and bust my parole based on that. I'm sure. And then we had Unser in his Heisenberg outfit.
Oh, that was great.
His Breaking Bad suit.
Great.
Taking care
and
of Carney's body.
Our number one super fan, Bobby, brings
yeah,
that up.
Yeah, you
want to
do a mail? We can just do a mail now if you want to. Or you want to roll one more?
Jason really likes the way I do
I love
mail.
The way you do the mail.
I'm going to do really sexy whisper acting.
Oh, okay.
like on Battlestar Galactica.
No, well, Battlestar Galactica is gravelly. Well, it's gravel whisper. Cylons are bad. They're coming to get us.
You're going to make me blow milk out my nose or something.
There's 10,000 of them, but there's only 6 actors.
Okay. Listener mail, just because there's so much of it. Oh, Jason wants me to get really close to this phallic thing. What?
Yes.
Do you like that?
I like that. So this is Robert, our super fan.
Right.
Yes.
Jason and Sion. Oh, booyah. Or booyah. I was going to call this one in, but I couldn't stop laughing. Unser is my new...
Heisenberg?
No.
Pagliacci. Pagliacci. I'm not reading it. Jason says Italian. You have it in front of you. Pagliacci, the crying clown.
I mean the Rob's rib joint outfit for the pine tree cabin cream caper. And those are the 3 Ks.
The pine tree cabin cream caper. Oh, Robert.
The random firearm shooting. Yeah. One in the wall here. Another in the roof. Shit, man. Cut off his head, put it in a bag, and be done with it. Dust mask? Booties? I love it. Well, it would be kind of smelly at this point.
It would be pretty smelly.
And you don't want to leave. Lot.
It probably started pretty smelly. Imagine piney. A piney on a fresh day is probably not. Exactly.
Yeah, because he was kind of fermented on he's probably gin not very or no, tequila. Tequila.
Yeah, tequila.
Well, I know when I first saw that, you were like Heisenberg was like so Breaking Bad. He's got his little Breaking Bad outfit on. Because he had
a little mask and like a rabbit outfit on, but you know, but it was kind of like Heisenberg meets like Leatherface. He's kind of got this like more redneck quality Heisenberg suit on. Yeah, you know, totally.
Singing while he works opera style would have been priceless.
Pagliacci, yeah, crying and singing. Yeah.
Machete wants Tara kidnapped. Either to question or some kind of ransom have to perform task. I think...
It's got to be interrogation.
No. I'm sure he wants to ask questions. I think they want their own in-house surgeon.
Right. Well, now she blew her hand.
That really makes a difference.
It really does. The Suns really have a convenient
bullet removal
service.
You could really get away with a lot more crime if you have your own in-house surgeon.
I'm wondering, it depends on how screwed up her hand is. I wonder if she's still going to be able to do some meatball surgery, you know, for the Suns. When the call comes, or if you can talk somebody through it, you know, here's how you remove a bullet.
Just meatball surgery.
Well, they used to call it in MASH, meatball surgery. You know, just not non-elegant, but necessary emergency surgery for combat okay. surgery.
I had not heard that. That's
you
a good
heard
one.
Of MASH, they call it meatball surgery.
Okay.
I don't make these things up.
I want to play meatball surgery later tonight. No?
Okay, yes.
You're so mean to me.
I like Hawkeye.
I know you do. Back to Bobby's letter.
Back to Bobby.
Clay stopping Opie from going to kill cabin.
To the cabin fever.
Oh, Clay, you're killing me. Ha ha ha. But yep, ta-da. Unser's worst fears are realized when he finds Gemma in the dark and confirms Clay practicing ancient medicine. Yes, Gemma has a leech on her left eye.
Yeah,
a
what
big,
was that?
Giant engorged leech. So symbolic. Clay will stop at nothing. Leeches, yeesh. Love the podcast. Thank you, Bobby. Natter forever. Forever, Natter. That's NFFN.
Siempre
oh,
Natter.
Thanks, Bobby, because Jason loves acronyms. And now I'm going to be hearing this one every day.
Semper Natter.
Semper Natter.
Semper Natter, totally. Thank you. Very good, Bobby.
And our... And he turned us on to a friend. El Rojo checking in. Thanks to Bobby's prodding. I must be a fan of SOA or I wouldn't spend 6 hours downloading that shit here in Shandong, China every Thursday night. Having come of age in a house full of 1%ers, I find the show both ludicrous and fascinating.
Ludicrous and fascinating is pretty good.
You know, I come from lower middle class military background, and I'm finding it pretty ludicrous and fascinating.
I come from a middle class educational background, exactly. And I find it ludicrous and fascinating. I think it touches something from everybody.
I enjoy your take on it all. It's a pleasure to listen to you.
Ancient
business. He's got some interesting stuff here. I believe it was Coward that Chibs called Juicy when he discovered his predicament.
Yes, I think we confirmed this last week.
Subtitles would be in order for our man.
I didn't confirm out of the cast, but we were
trying to learn Chibs' language, aren't
I'm
you?
I'm taking Chibs as a second language down at the extension.
Yeah.
Yes. No, but it wasn't on the cast, but I was like lying in bed, and I was like, Coward. He said Coward. Yes. No, you totally. Yes. I'm with you. Rojo gets a gets a natter point for that one.
Rojo, natter point.
Yeah.
Old business. Oh, nope. Missed a paragraph. I agree that Pineapple Face must have been on the short bus of Federales. What tactical wizardry it was to confine his entire force of sons, Mayans, and troops in a tinderbox barn when waiting on for an unknown force to come from unknown directions in the dark.
Pineapple Face was on the short bus of Federales.
You think the sons would be a little wary of being shut in barns.
Yes.
After their Emerald Isle vacation. Lucky break. Yeah. Lucky charms.
They didn't have anybody flanking anything.
That it was
anything.
Just
they
the headless iron horseman.
Yeah, totally Rojo. Yeah.
Now he's got an old business section here.
Yes.
Opie just might cop an attitude. Might.
You think?
When he figures out that Chinny Chin Chin killed both his wife and his papa. But hey, at least nobody fucked with his scoot.
Obi was hatless toward the end of this episode, so...
Sometimes you just gotta take one for the team, as Big Otto could tell us.
Big Otto's taken 7 for the team.
Yes.
Big Otto has...
New business. Yeah. Hard to tell who's going to get offed in this next go-around. Didn't they sign for another season?
Yes.
They're getting a little thin on personnel already. Well, all the best to you both. I'll be listening in. El Rojo out.
El Rojo, thank you so much.
El Rojo.
This is great. That's some great stuff. And it's true. Yeah. No, definitely these Federales seem to have not been the A team.
Yeah. And?
And? On
our
the Facebook?
First lovely lady friend fan.
A lady friend fan.
That's a reference to, I just blanked.
It's my special lady friend.
Yeah. It's that movie I watched wearing bowling shoes.
Oh, the Big Lebowski.
Yes.
She told me she's my fucking lady friend.
Yeah.
Man.
I'm trying to help my lady friend.
You're like an Irish monk? I'm a brother Seamus.
Melissa says, well done. I'm half through the second episode, and I have to say, you and Sione are doing an amazing job. She
Yay.
Put it in caps.
Yeah, she loves us.
Oh, I like it when girls like us. This is exactly the kind of podcast I love. Smart, witty, and wildly entertaining.
Hooray.
And I still have my pants on. And you've mentioned Coppola twice, which warms my heart a bit as I work for him. Kudos to you for mentioning the conversation. Cheers to you and Sione. Thanks for making my Friday afternoon great. Aww.
Oh, I will do better than mention the conversation. I will mention Tucker, A Man in His Dream.
So she must be a Bay Area person.
Yeah, she said she's local to us. We might have her in. We might invite her in.
We might be at this event tomorrow night. Jason writes movie reviews for io9.com, and they have a thing called Writers with Drinks.
Yes.
Which is this event. It's a block from our house, which is nice. At the Makeout Room, and all these cool writers, all kinds of genres. But
yeah, it's
mostly
run by Charlie Anders.
Yeah, who's just awesome.
And who writes for io9.
Right, just watching Charlie Girl talk.
Yeah, Charlie's
is
fantastic.
Worth the whole show.
You think we're funny.
The introductions Charlie Girl comes up with.
To all these writers.
For her, oh my God.
I want her to write my bio. I want her to write my epitaph.
I want to write a book just so I can get that interdiction.
Yeah,
interdiction.
I want to get up there just so she can like give me
They're
the business.
Excellent. I think
really
we should tape some. See if
well,
we can
yeah.
Because, but I think she does them spontaneously, so. I think she just, you know, she just goes off.
Oh, no, she constructs these things. Charlie's a writer.
Anyway,
I mean,
so we might be there.
But yeah,
Melissa,
no,
that
no.
might be something that you'll enjoy, too.
And anybody who's a local San Francisco should check it
there's
out.
There's a lot of really interesting...
once a month at the Makeout Room, it's like the...
narrative artists. Artists
yeah,
working
Saturday
narrative
artists.
Forms like film and TV film. And writing. And there's a lot of good sex workers there. And it's just a wonderful cross of Bay Area talent.
Very good stuff. Speaking of television, so let's get back to the show. So
oh, that's right. We're podcasting about the Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy. Okay, so so Gemma and is like thinking that Clay is up to something because he's saying he's going to be doing business with Jax, and she knows Jax is going up to Oregon, and all this money's missing, and blah blah blah. And then we get over to Jax and Mrs. Jax and the whole happy family are driving up, and there's this scene here that it didn't like emotionally affect me, but it's just I really liked it. I really liked that they did this bit with the cop rolling up while Jax is filling up the car, and he doesn't have his cut on, and they just look like a family, and the guy comes up and sort of chats him up about the car, and then they talk about bikes, and the cop rolls off and says goodbye to the kid and everything. And Jax has this moment where, of course, when he sees a cop riding up on him, he goes into into Suns mode, kind of the way Bobby said, you know, everything's gonna be a club solution with you. Well, a club solution for the cops coming up is that you puff out and you get ready.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't.
He's caught off guard.
He calms himself down and he just has this casual motorcycle geek conversation with the guy. And the guy just, you know, you have a good day and just rides off. And he said, I just had a pleasant conversation with law enforcement where there was no violent subtext. There was no threats. There was no, I don't have to worry about what's going to happen to my family. He was just a cop who was just here. And it's just like a normal life. And Tara like told him to calm down at the beginning. She says, relax, we're civilians. And he's like, yeah, right. Puts on his Ray-Bans. Jack's Ray-Bans and non-civilian Ray-Bans or whatever. And I just thought that this was another, like you talked about last week about Jack's leadership is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this was an instance here of his vision, which is the same as Tara's vision now. It's like they're seeing the world the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And they both have this vision of, let's just be ordinary people. Let's just have a life. You be a mechanic, I'll be a doctor, let's raise our kids, let's mm-hmm. live somewhere we can afford,
mm-hmm.
and have that be it. And then, and this is what he wants, and he's starting to see that this isn't giving something up, this is getting something. It's like, it is nice to be able to talk to public servants without fearing them, and without, you know, having to worry about what you're hiding from them, and all this kind of stuff. That's more free than this anarchy, you know, where you're living in anarchy in the midst of a society that doesn't want you to live that way, and so they're going to come down on you for it. And, I really think he started to see himself living a life that he could enjoy, you know, right before this abduction occurs. And yeah, it was a nice little moment in mm-hmm. the show, I thought, for that. Mm-hmm.
To follow up what you were saying, I noticed that he twice showed extraordinary leadership in this episode as well.
Mm-hmm.
He did the same thing. He put himself between Tara the gun.
Twice he's put
twice
himself.
Did it.
Yeah.
And he also did it with, was it Leroy?
He did it when they go to the Niners.
And Alvarez.
Oh, here's the thing. When you're going to show up at Leroy's club, well, first of all, their bartender's very calmly.
Call first.
Just call first.
Just say, hey, you know.
Because evidently he's just going to come out of his office shooting without even reading
things
anything.
Are a little tense and charming.
It's a little tense. Well, no, this is Oakland.
Oh, that's right.
This is Oaktown. That this is happening in.
We think we figured out that Charming is in the vicinity of Modesto.
Well, it's like Modesto. Yeah, no, it's pretty clear that it's like Modesto, Fresno, mm-hmm. because they're going to Folsom. You know, it's around there. I used to think it was further south in San Luis Obispo. The Watchers kind of sent me straight on that. And it's like, yeah, no, you're right. It's much further north.
Yeah, and we're the Californians.
Well, I went with that because the town kind of feels like San Luis.
Yes, it does.
You know, and it the little town part. But mm-hmm. I haven't been to all the little towns around Modesto. I'm sure mm-hmm. they probably feel like San Luis as well. I've been to San Luis. Mm-hmm. You know, so there you are. Anyway, but yeah, so Jack, so the leadership.
It feels
and also,
like Bolinas to me.
Hmm, Bolinas? Maybe it's, yeah. No, I think Modesto, because it's what is it, the county. I forget the county, but it's basically, they mention the county. And it's the mm-hmm. county to Fresno and Modesto and all that stuff.
Right.
Anyway, so yeah, Jack's leadership and also just the you know, but it's kind of old Jack stuff too. It's a willingness to put himself between the danger and his family. That's very Gemma coming up in him. You don't do this to my family, do this to my club. I'll stand in front of a gun. There was that one scene again. I think it was season one or two, where I forget what it was, but some character had a gun straight to his head, and it was like, I'm going to pull the trigger if you don't cooperate. And he's like, no, do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Jack's guns don't bother him.
He's fearless.
He's just like not afraid of being shot in the head.
Well, like you pointed out earlier,
or if he's afraid, he's able to
in the podcast. He's like your wife, who runs towards conflict.
He runs towards the conflict, and that's what Bobby says about him. You know, it's like you're going to run towards conflict. Like, look at you punched a woman last week. I mean, come on, you're not going to have a civilian life. And I think that maybe he thinks he can change. You know, he said I think I can change. So. Speaking of changing, so we have coatless Lincoln in his jazz, what do you want to call it? Meditation chamber. Like Darth Vader had that
office.
Chamber, his little office. Yeah. But
he's
really decorated it.
He personalizes everything.
He's personalizing everything.
He's personalized his war room.
His war room. But this is less chaotic than his war room.
Yes.
There's no board.
But it's pretentious.
Over. And well, he's got his jazz posters, and he has his old dual tape deck and his stack of cassettes.
He's stuck in the '70s,
like it's 1978.
Yes, he's totally
like he just traded in his 8-track.
The hair, everything is the '70s.
Yeah, and the coat, the hair, the glasses, the bike. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy is rolling up like Peter Fonda, you know, or something. He's got all these old tastes, and what is he? He's got to be what 35, 35, somewhere in there, you know, mid-30s. Mm-hmm. So this is not his generation. What are you doing, man? I mean, you were probably born in 1980. What is this with this like Dirk Diggler stereo system that you've got and all this jazz stuff? He's very pretentious. And then Rosie comes in and just basically like, you know, you played me, you know, and he's like, yeah, but you're gonna do fine, so shut up. You know, and then that put me of a mind to something we see on these shows, like on The Shield as well, is this complete lack of trust between local law enforcement and the feds. You know, that's something that I've seen actually be real. I took in college, I took a detective fiction course, and a section of it was taught by...
I did not know that.
Yeah, no, it's taught by an LAPD homicide officer who investigated the Roadside Stranglers. Remember those two guys?
Uh-huh.
Who used to...
They're cousins, I think.
This is like an uncle and a nephew, something like that. Yeah, right. And the one guy pretended to have multiple personality, mm-hmm. right? And anyway, so he was I don't know, but I don't know if he was running the case, but he was leading the case, or he was on the case, and the feds got involved, and he called them the fan belt inspectors. He said the reason those guys operated for X number or more months or whatever is because the FBI just kept screwing them up completely. Now, that's, I'm sure the FBI has a completely opposite story, that these local bumpkins were screwing up this investigation.
Well, I witnessed a crime and had to deal with the FBI, and I think I would agree.
Yeah, you think the feds just don't...
They're very arrogant. And
they're above it.
And they just... They're... Whew.
Yeah. They don't. Now, I have no direct...
They're not very good.
I have no direct experience of this.
I would just say don't get involved with them because... At all. I mean, lawyer up, even if you're the witness.
So you're thinking Lincoln Potter represents kind of a fair representation.
These guys are... Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They're weird.
Yeah.
They're very detached. And they're...
They're seeing this weird big picture thing, too, that is not the crime that you're dealing with.
Yeah.
You know, it's a whole political network, right?
Yeah, it's not at all like dealing with a cop.
Cops just because cops live on their beat.
Yeah, right?
They live in their or close. You know, they live in their community.
Yeah, no, there's an arrogance, and it's like they make busy work for themselves. They're bureaucrats.
Yeah,
they're not particularly bright. It takes a lot of them to do a small job.
Right, and we saw kind of a more benevolent version of that on Dexter, where he came in and had that attitude. Remember, it was like he was dating Dexter's sister.
Right.
But he was more of a beneficent version of it, kind of, you know.
Like, for example, I can't remember the name. It's like Extreme Anal or something. We got to put the explicit into the
explicit
cast.
Extreme Anal.
But right after 9/11, it was something like 40 FBI agents raided the offices of a porn king. And they...
Right, when it was Max Hardcore.
Max Hardcore, yeah.
Max Hardcore, yeah.
Look that up, that story. Really? After 9/11, we had 40? This was like a month or two after 9/11.
Well, Max does some rough stuff.
We had 40 FBI agents that were available to spend a week in a hotel. They rented out a whole floor.
Debriefing Max
in Century City. It was just like,
yeah,
that's expensive.
Well, they thought it was real rape.
And they set them up.
They thought it was real rape, is what they said.
No.
It wasn't. None of the girls said it was.
What they did is they specifically had an agent in Baltimore because of the jurisdiction issue write and say, I want these tapes. And because it was illegal to send them to Baltimore or something. Yeah, it was a complete sting. But really, 9/11, we had...
9/11 and we had the FBI going after Max Hardcore.
I thought we were a little busier then.
Yeah.
Now I know how 9/11 slipped through the cracks.
Well, at least they didn't go
after... But that gives you an example.
At least they didn't go after Belladonna.
Yeah, Jason loves his Belladonna.
Not really. Actually, she's a little weird for me. But I do like her. I like her a lot. Belladonna. You know,
I'd like her
on a personal level, you know, more than a sexual one, actually. I just think she's funny. It's like watching her stuff is like cartoon. It's really hard to do anything with it. It's just, dude, that's really strange, Bella. Just showing me there. I've never seen anything like that. Thank you. I'm kind of a vanilla guy, you know, especially for this town. For this town, I'm like practically a Republican. No, they're very strange. I'm practically a Democrat.
No, they are the strange.
Yeah, the Democrats.
They love the strange.
Democrats are just the straight up fuckers.
The straight up fuckers.
They just want their regular sex with the people. You know, the common people. The Republicans want their strange, you know, absinthe. They're like Gary Oldman in Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula. all creepy and strange.
That was for you, Melissa.
Yeah, there you go, Melissa. Okay, anyway, so we have Coatless Lincoln and his jazz ensemble have decided that Rosie has no choice but to work with him. And he threatens Rosie. He says, you signed an agreement that says you'd work with me. And it's like, I don't know how these agreements work, but in most legal environments, an agreement means you have to give me something too. Just because I signed a piece of paper that said I'm going to work for you, you can't decide not to pay me and fuck me over. If you break the agreement, I can leave, you know. So I don't know what's up with that. And then he goes and he's checking out Juice. And a little bit later on, we see he apologizes to Juice. He says, there's nothing I can do for you right now, but I can man up and tell you that I was wrong.
That was, I mean,
this, wrong to treat, you know, to treat you this way.
I think that was one of the most interesting parts of this episode.
Well, I'm wondering if Lincoln...
Because all of a sudden really that shifts so many possibilities around.
Yeah.
That really shifts the landscape.
It shifts the loyalties of Rosie. It makes him it makes him an asset.
And his wife is already, you know, in an alliance of sorts with and Gemma.
What if the motorcycle
and Tara,
club,
so it's like, what if they do start to go a little clean? And they're going to want a new mayor.
And what if they do have a maybe positive he'll be the new mayor, relationship with
and
law
maybe
enforcement?
Maybe there'll be something different.
Yeah, maybe you could cooperate with the police in keeping Charming a crime-free town, which is the whole
thing. But we still have to have our villains. And you and I talked about this in the car the other day. Well, they can stop having the villains from within.
Yeah.
Get rid of Clay. And the villains can be like idiots that come to town and don't understand how it works.
That. And they've had like Stahl in the past.
Stahl,
kind of thing.
Yes.
Stahl was a great villain, you know. Yes. And having the feds be the villains is pretty classic. But I'm thinking like, I think they've been renewed for one season and I think there's a plan for two more. Mm-hmm. Maybe one or two. And I think it's going to be a very different show. I think we're really going to try and see, I think they're going to take it. If I had to predict, they're going to take it to the positive place. They're going to show us what JT... Because they've been telling us, oh, JT had this vision and JT had that vision. We haven't really heard the specifics.
No, we haven't.
We've heard this vague hippie talk, right? Mm-hmm. And so it'd be really nice to kind of see Jax really reconstruct that. Say, this is what this club was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to build that. I'm going to build it with Gemma and Tara. I'm going to let them help me do that. And they're not just old ladies. Well, that's the other thing I want to throw out.
Gemma
likes
it dark, though.
Clay, and then sitting by, he has not fixed these doors yet.
Oh, the door. I love that scene. So you know? I was like totally because it was our second time watching it, and I was like trying to make it funny instead of this serious, scary thing.
It is very threatening. He's fucking like...
Well, she comes in with the doors, and our Bobby here, our super fan, will agree with me on this one. She comes to the doors, and I kind of rewrote the scene in my head when I was watching it tonight. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, because she's like, you know, I need to ask you, I wrote it down, I need to ask you a question, you know.
So she closes the doors.
And I felt like saying, she was going, I need to ask you, you took $20,000 out. I see you haven't bought new doors. What's with these damn doors?
Yeah, doors will cost you about $2,000. So maybe we could get some doors here, Mr. $20,000 in my backpack.
It's like, what's with these doors?
But the menace of Clay toward Gemma.
And then when the camera was on her, this is a great directing choice. He was lit like a demon.
Yes.
Very crevicey.
Yeah.
Just incredible.
And there was also this thing, and we've been noticing because, you know, we're filmmakers, and so I keep like looking for shots that I want to do.
Right.
You know, things I want to
do. That was that really cool one out.
And there was out when he comes back from allegedly being with Jax, and she said, well, Jax is, you know, out of town. And he's like, well, I guess that's why he didn't show. And then Clay's walking, and he figures out that Jax is on the road. He's going to get killed along with Tara or, you know, shoot back or whatever. And they do this thing, and you'll often see it like in courtroom dramas, where they do the pull back. The camera pulls back, but it zooms in.
Mm-hmm.
So the subject stays the same size, but the background closes in around him. And they did that effect on Clay as he's walking.
I'll look up what the name of that is.
Told me what it's called. I forget what it's called. Anyway, but they do the same effect, and so Gemma stays the same size over his shoulder as he's walking away from her. Mm-hmm. She doesn't shrink.
Right.
So it's like this visual clue that she's not going away. She's in focus and not getting smaller, even though he's got his back to her and walking away. She's not a force that's going to disappear.
Mm-mm.
And then later on, he says to her, you know, oh, you're just an old lady. And this is echoing what Jax has said to her in the past, and this being very dismissive of her.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of know she's not just, I mean, please.
She runs the club.
She runs the town, you know. Well, she doesn't make the business decisions, but she certainly runs this town, and she has a lot of loyalty directed at her. But also, it's a complete lie. It's not just, you're just an old lady. I'm totally dependent upon you for all of this to work. I'm clay. I have no life without you, mm-hmm. without what you bring into my life. If it becomes a conflict between us, everyone's on your side. They're not on my side. And that means she does run the club in that respect, mm-hmm. you know. And he doesn't seem to know it. He really is showing this. They say the sociopaths and psychopaths, it's the same thing really now, don't learn from their mistakes. And they don't make good choices because they don't feel fear. And they don't feel the consequences of their actions. And they don't feel emotional responses to being threatened and things like that. And we're seeing that in Clay. He's definitely making these choices where he's angry and fearful for himself. But he's not thinking through what's going to happen.
No.
At all. You know, there's just like...
He has zero vision. He's got this tunnel vision of, I want my money and nothing, and I want to go on, retire, whatever that means. And he hasn't even planned.
He's talking about six figures and going off and retiring.
I think it was seven.
It better be seven.
Yeah.
It better be seven. Six isn't going to do... $1 million is not going to take care of you the rest of your life in cash. You can't grow. Mm-hmm. You're going to get sick. What are you going to do? You can pay all your bills in cash? I mean, something's got to happen in your life. And okay, whatever. Anyway, so, So I have here, you know, just noting that this whole you're just an old lady thing, that's really one of his great blind spots. That's just crazy talk. Mm-hmm. He's got to say it's crazy talk. And it's very different from saying, you know, it's like, you're just an old lady. I'm telling you this today. 2 days ago, I was saying, you're my whole life. I do everything for you. The whole purpose of everything. It's like, I'm such a liar. I am lying to you so very badly, you know? So anyway, then we have the worst hitman ever. We've already been through that one in Civilian Jacks. Oh, then Lincoln goes to visit Juice in lockup, right? And give him the deal. And the basic deal is... you cooperate with us, you call in constantly and you cooperate with us, and we don't RICO your club into non-existence, and if you rat us out, I'll take you down and that kind of thing. And he's watching cartoons, and Lincoln says he's always liked Quick Draw McGraw better than I guess Max Fleischer, which is what the guy was watching. And it's like, he's a Hanna-Barbera man, you know, and that just fits it perfectly because he looks like Tennessee Tuxedo to me. He looks like a Hanna-Barbera character. And then what about the scene? Tell me what you think about the scene with the Margaret, the admin, and Gemma in the chapel in the hospital.
Well, it made me wanted to know more about, because I know Margaret has a colorful past and some connection to organized crime or of some sort before. She's got a tattoo.
Yeah, she mentioned that to Tara when she was saying you can't just live this life. Right. You know, I've tried it. You can't just live this
exactly.
life.
Exactly. And I would think that not only, I mean, I think that that was really personal what she was saying. Like, she probably wishes she could have said it, or someone said it to her at one point.
Or somebody screwed her over in a way that Jim was screwing over Tara, kind of.
But boy, she just laid it out.
And I think she...
And she's right.
She's right. And I think
so
Gemma
needs
her
to redeem herself.
I think Gemma heard her too.
Huh?
I think Gemma heard her.
Yeah.
She was a little defensive, but I think she actually heard it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the previous episode, when Gemma uses Unser the way she does.
Right, kisses him.
She lost, I mean, I noticed on the Watchers page on Facebook, you know, people are like,
No, that was a little creepy.
She's the sexiest woman on TV, but she lost sympathy.
Because she's clearly manipulating this guy.
So I'll be curious to see what, because you know she's the star, so I'll be curious to see how she redeems herself.
Well, she's not Clay. She really loves this town.
Yes.
And it is important to her that it not burn to the ground.
And her son.
And she loves her son. Mm-hmm. But I think she loves her town enough that she does not want the cartels rolling through here and Bag of Heads.
No.
I mean, Bag of Heads really, she was like, I brought a Bag of Heads into my town. You could see that on her face. What was that? Is it like a strange...
Motorcycle out front?
I guess so. It's the Niners that are coming for us.
quick,
get a bag
of
heads.
Get our prop guns.
So, and just like that scene where she comes in to confront Clay, now this is the big scene. I guess we haven't really talked about the big scene. So the big scene, she comes in after the hit on Tara goes badly, and there's lots of Sun's action and people and sitting in hospitals and hugging Jacks and making plans and man bonding and Chibs is a second language and all kinds of fun stuff. But have you noticed though, we had a mixed mode Opie in this episode. He was hatted and dickless. And then later on he says, well, all shit hit the fan, and he's got no hat on. He's hatless when shit hits the fan. So Opie knows he's got to go hatless when the action's going to happen. So there's all this stuff, but the moment when Clay they're at the hospital and Clay comes in with the gang, right, and says to, and he plays it up in front of them, but he doesn't know who did this, and it's probably the Lobos or whatever, and you know, Jax buys that story or whatever, and I thought Katie Seagal's look on her face of lack of credulity about this, I don't believe you. In the hospital, I'm not going to confront you here about it.
Right.
We're going to have this out later on, but there, I am not buying this story of yours. That money disappeared, and then this happened, and then money comes back. You know, I mean, come on, please. And then she comes to confront him by herself, which just goes to show how much she really is in denial about what this relationship is. I would not have gone to confront Clay even in my own home by myself over this. I would, you know.
She was over it.
I would have gotten some allies.
But she didn't, yeah. She should not have been alone with him.
At least Unser, you know, something. There has He has to be outnumbered. He has to be outnumbered. You don't shoot at Clay and miss.
No.
You know, you do not shoot at Clay.
You
were yelling,
you don't shoot at the
king. You don't shoot at the king and miss. Well, it's an old saying, you don't strike at the king and miss.
Right.
Right. You have to strike at the king and kill him.
Right.
You don't just wound him even, you got to kill him. And you don't shoot at Clay's head and then try to get away. You know, she only shot once. She couldn't do it again, right? I mean, she shot once and then mm-hmm. was like paralyzed, and he comes up and smacks a gun out of her hand, mm-hmm. and it goes to melee. You know, and anybody else who's committed to, she was close enough, she could have killed him. I mean, mm-hmm. It wasn't just bad aim. It was a warning shot, sort of, or maybe she was panicky or whatever. But she doesn't unload any more shots when he starts moving toward her. And I think that's where she knows she can't do this herself. She can't kill him herself. You know, it has to be somebody else. It mm-hmm. has to be a son, she says, who does this, right?
But I liked your idea that you came up with. we were laughing about it. He might become like disabled.
Oh yeah, I have
this and then she has to take care of him, and yes. She's just the sadistical nurse for the rest favorites. Of his life.
we both have a sadistical streak in us, especially for fictional characters. Yes. And everyone's like, "Ooh, they're gonna kill Clay. They're gonna kill Clay." And I'm like, "He needs to become a quadriplegic. You know, he needs to go Lars von Trier. He needs to be like breaking the waves and like stuck in bed. And she needs to be fucking other guys right in front of him, and feeding him like only food he doesn't like." You know, and it'd be great if his larynx was paralyzed along with everything else. So he couldn't talk. He couldn't do anything. And we can get like, maybe we give him a little bell. Maybe his finger can move. And he's like Uncle Tio from Breaking Bad. He can go ding, 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 ding. And then when the guy's annoying, you take the bell away. You know, but yeah, no, I think there's a, like, you, well, this, I got that idea kind of from you with the Vic, where you're like coming back to Vic Mackey. You don't kill Vic Mackey. You trap him, right? That's the worst thing. He's prepared to die, kind of. In as far as anybody else is, right? But what he wasn't prepared to do was be trapped at a desk in a suit, you know, at 8 a.m. every day writing the same report, right? That's hell for him. It's hell for anybody, let alone Vic Mackey. And I think I'm thinking the same thing. Clay is like the Vic Mackey of the show, right? Clay is the one with the increasingly absurd plans, the utter disregard for the health and safety of anybody around him, and the complete tunnel vision of doing the immediate thing that's going to get you a bag of money or out of trouble without any kind of long-term structured idea of how to live your life, right? And so finding himself trapped, you know, in a wheelchair, mm-hmm. and subject. And the other thing that we should call back to that is Hal Holbrook. Because
mm-hmm.
we have this,
mm-hmm.
you know, premonition of the men in Gemma's life. Mm-hmm. He wasn't wheelchair bound, but he was sick, mm-hmm. you know, and mentally incapacitated and like that. And so... Yeah, I think they're probably going to kill. I'm going with they're going to kill Clay. It's going to be Opie. That's my bet.
That's what you think.
I'm going with that, but I'm open to all kinds of possibilities.
I think it's either Otto, Big Otto.
I like the Big Otto theory. I'm pulling for you on that one.
Or Tara, those are my two.
Tara, but her hand is fucked up now. How is she going to pull the trigger?
Well, she wasn't going to pull the trigger. I see him getting potentially like hurt.
Oh, and she medically kills him.
She just does not give him medical care, and that's what kills him.
Or administer something deadly.
I don't think so. I think...
because that's a callback to Gemma.
She's much more into self-defense.
Right, but she's becoming Gemma-like.
Yeah, she's becoming Gemma-like, yeah.
But self-defense is like letting
him die. And speaking of which, last point I'd like to make is... Yeah. Is Tara's conversation about fate and recapping their relationship and their whole feeling of soulmates and that they were meant to be together.
Yeah, that's
the only way for this to work because she has to lose her out.
Yes. That's a big speech. Yes. So what do you have to say?
Well, first of all, she's still a doctor. Even if she lost both arms and hands,
she could teach.
She can still do, she still has lots of outs.
Yeah.
So I'm she could certainly make a reasonable that. Living. And we also don't know what the damage is.
Yeah.
I don't think she needs to. I don't think so. I think I think Jax was right. She needed more meds.
Yeah, she's very high.
Well, no, she wasn't high enough.
She started
getting really sarcastic, and I love the way she said, "Oh yeah, we can go live with Gemma."
If you Gemma would really get like sarcastic, that. You're not high enough. No. You need to get higher if you can be sarcastic. Yeah. Certainly on morphine. Morphine is the anti-sarcasm drug. It's like,
I don't know. Remember, I had to have that one time
in the emergency room.
Yeah. And at first I was really nauseous. I couldn't handle the dose, so they had to only give me half a dose.
Yeah, that stuff makes, yeah.
And then later they needed to give me the rest of the dose, and I was really sarcastic. I was like...
That's sarcastic. You're a little ironic.
I was a little ironic.
And then, but it wore off pretty quickly on you. You're like, it was on, and then it was off.
That was kind of good.
Yeah.
Because I've always seen
like Train Spotting, like whole days disappear, you know. I guess not.
No, it was kind of good that it wore off because it was kind of weird.
I've never had morphine. I've had Vicodin, but not morphine.
It's intense.
So Tara's vision. So like, you know, and this, you know, we'd been talking about Tara these last couple episodes. And I think it was, you know, I said like she has to die or disappear.
Or change
or the club has to change. It's like those were the four possibilities. Mm-hmm. Either the situation in Charming has to change,
mm-hmm.
or she has to come to accept it, or she has to disappear,
mm-hmm.
You know, which could be death or could just be leaving. And I think it's the last option. I think Charming is going to change. I think the situation, because Clay is the reason that the motorcycle club is incompatible with the Tara lifestyle, right? And once this thing with Clay plays out, the remaining sons are not going to be particularly anti-Tara, right? There's not going to be any kind of, and I really don't see them doing anything. I don't even see them staying in the gun business, you know, after Clay is gone.
Well, I'm kind of hoping that they'll take on those untrustworthy Armenians that they're in competition with.
They start cooperating with the bike Armenians. Shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, she can help with the Armenian situation. Maybe they have a money train that comes through town. So yeah, now Tara's vision. So when she's like on having the drugs, I think that's this articulation of that she's at this real crossroads and really actually kind of I'm seeing now, because a couple, you know, like the last episode and like on the Watchers board and everything, people are like, yeah, no, Tara's got a big target on her back. I don't see how this character, and not just as a practical reality, you know, in the show, but as a character, literary character. She had outlived her ability to function, you know, in any kind of way that where she would have any integrity, so she wouldn't be interesting anymore. And I think that's changing as Clay's disappearing from the scene, and she's going to become something a little more. I think she's going to stick around,
mm-hmm.
as a character. So the last thing I had was Jax and Opie, right? Behatted Opie is sitting there, all hat full.
Well, he
and
took
pathetic.
His helmet off and didn't have his hat on for a short period.
He didn't
of time.
Have it all. He had it. He was off for when.
And
he was
that's
right.
when he was also like,
whoa. You know, he's bad. And he was. Do you see what I'm saying? He was like Samson with the hat. Is it the anti-hat Samson thing?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Whatever. But then he's in the hospital with his big fucking douchebag hat on. Sitting there, I need you in the club.
I'll be very, very careful.
My friend. I just wanted to punch him. But
you may get one for Christmas if you keep
make
this
your
up.
Own choices, Opie. Jax encouraged you to do something that was good for him.
Your arms are waving.
I'm waving my arms. I'm so mad at Opie. Be a man. Grow a dick, boy.
Take Brian, that hat right. off.
But don't get into trouble with that dick, so put the hat back on. Get half a hat.
Put a hat on your dick.
Put a dick hat on your
dick
head.
Hat. As opposed to ass hat.
Have you ever had to put a condom over your head and blow it up with your nose?
Had to. There are situations where people.
You're
have
not a.
To
oh, you're
it.
Not a boy. There are situations. You can't graduate high school.
But without... I can answer that I did it voluntarily. backstage of the Mitchell Brothers. I kid you not.
Yeah, no, I've done it.
Yeah. One night we decided to just do it.
Let's
do some tricks like we
said. You have to use the magnums, though.
Pulled them over and went.
Those little thumb dick ones they snap too easily. You got to use the big magnum, brutal, like Soviet era military parachute, latex parachute. No, but so basically, here we see Jax coming again to the thing that's right, just like Roosevelt. Roosevelt said, "I can man up and tell you that, you know, even though you're fucked and I'm fucked, I can tell you at least that we're fucked because of me."
Yeah.
And Jax has said Jax said the same thing.
Got a lot of integrity.
"I'm lying to you. I'm leaving the club." And Opie's like, "I need you in this club." And it's like, "My family needs me more."
Mm-hmm.
"And if I hadn't convinced you to stay in this club, Donna would probably still be alive."
Mm-hmm.
"And I'm sorry. And I should not have done that. We should, you know, you were right to leave the, you know, oh, hey, siren."
Yeah.
"And we're both right to leave now." Life in the big city. You know. And I think he's, that was definitely... nice to see. Nice to see Jax is coming clean with Opie, you know, about that, because he really did. He talked him back in to this whole mess. Opie's life is a mess because of Jax. And so mm-hmm. it's nice to see him own that and say, "But I'm not going to stay in the club to make it right. That's just going to make it worse." So good stuff.
Well, he can't stay in the club as it is now. But if it changes,
I think it's going to change. I think the club's going to change.
I'd like to see them experiment with that, because I think they can still have all kinds of mayhem.
Well, remember that Jax is still saying this. He's saying this from a point of view of having no reason to believe that Clay is going to... He's going to retire, but he's going to still be in the club.
He doesn't know that
Clay's vision's going to
change.
He has no idea the depth of what's happened here. You know, and so I think that's Clay's obviously... cravenness. You know, that's obviously going to change. I think that there's going to be a Opie and Jax, you know, rebuilding the world kind of thing, which is going to be great. So we're going with predictions. So you think Big Otto? Do you have any like specific thinking of like how are things going to roll out from here?
Stabbing.
Well, there's a stabbing, but like okay, so Clay is sleeping at the club. Everyone's seen him come in with his you know, with his doghouse pack on his back, right? Like kicked out.
Well, we already have Unser.
There's no way Jim is going to hide that injury.
We already have Unser saying he wants to. He doesn't disagree. He doesn't say he's not going to do it. He puts out the thing.
Well,
let's get him into jail. You know, let's put him away. Let's pin Piney on him.
Right.
She says no. It has to be his son, and which is interesting because it really shows you her power.
Right.
And
he has to die. She says he has to die.
All right.
Like he won't die in prison.
But the thing is,
Otto can make that happen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But so there's a chance it could go down like that.
But it's a long...
Can't you see the Sons of Anarchy with a trial?
It's a long road.
A murder trial would be a hoot.
Yeah, it's a long road to get him to prison. So that's like, what do we do? This is going to be like last year's Irish thing. We're going to have a whole season of Clay on trial.
That could be kind of interesting.
Yeah, because he probably wouldn't cut a deal on murder. So that would be manslaughter.
Well, he has money,
too.
He's
got money, but you're not going to cut a deal that's better than 15.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to do 15, right?
But also...
maybe 8 to 10.
Yeah, Otto could get involved in, like, I'm going to testify on someone's behalf or whatever.
That's what Lincoln's got him potentially.
Lincoln wants him to do.
He's going
to
testify
and then that
against
means
the club.
He would be transferred out of jail temporarily, possibly.
Right.
I don't know if they would just take a deposition in jail or what. So there's an opportunity for him to be out of jail and get him that way, maybe.
So you're really seeing, like, a judicial process.
Something, yeah.
See, I'm thinking it's going to be a club thing. I think Gemma's on the right. I think we're going to get Jem's going to get her way.
But that would be a son. If Otto kills him, that's a son.
No, I know that's a son. Yeah. I know it's a son. But I get that. But I think that I just don't think she's going to go to Otto.
Because I don't think they're just going to get...
I'm hoping I like the Otto theory.
I don't think they're just
going to
get rid of this actor that quickly. Ron Perlman's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. Now, there is that. You're going to keep him... Is he on the run for a year? He escapes. Ron Perlman gets away. How about that? he knows that there's no way that people are going to look at Gemma's face and stick with him. The leadership vote coming up is going to be... He's going to lose the one guy he's got. He's got Tig. He's losing Tig.
Yeah, because Tig's got the hots for Gemma.
Forget everybody does.
Yeah.
He loves
Everybody does.
He loves her meatloaf. He just likes to just lingus up that meatloaf. Just
Jason!
Blah, 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 blah. He ate it with his tongue and not his teeth. Did you notice that? He was just consumed it like a lizard.
I don't remember, but that's very interesting that you paid attention. Lizard man.
No, he bit into it, but that's what it looked like to me. Anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, okay. So you're going with the judicial thing. I'm thinking that it's going to be a club deal because we've seen so many of these things, and that would be richly satisfying. I like the auto plan, and I think there's some possibility to it. So
well, it's also going to a new. It's throwing in a whole new thing. We haven't.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are this all this illegal stuff going on, but we've never have seen a trial.
I just want you. True. Well, they always cut deals, and I just want to see. Whatever it is, I just want to see it be better than the Henry Rollins kill. Because I was like waiting
yes, that
for,
was very
I was waiting for Henry Rollins to be skinned alive.
Yes.
And he was shot in the head in a toilet. And, yes. and but knowing that his kids were going to be taken away and everything, he didn't get to have racist kids. Okay, cool, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I want to see Clay really suffer, whatever mm-hmm. it is. And I think Otto is the one who can really fuck him up more than anybody else on planet Earth.
I don't want Otto to stick a shank in my ear.
No, Otto's pretty bad. The thing is, the only reason I'm not going with Otto so much is because Otto doesn't have so much of a deeply personal thing against Clay, unless he's
when able... When he finds out that he's been fucking up his whole club, are you kidding?
Right, it's just the club.
He puts, like,
you fucked up
like
my
Lincoln
whole
said,
club.
He has sacrificed more for the club than anybody else, because the club is everything to him.
Yeah.
It's not
so
individuals
I, no,
to him,
but
it's the
yes,
club as a whole.
And there's also, yes, and then there's a couple of things. So I think there's yeah. an adequate motive, but, you know... I just think it's more satisfying. I mean, who kills Claudius? Hamlet kills Claudius. Hamlet kills Claudius.
Right, but Kurt Sutter plays Otto, and who beat up his wife?
Okay. That's true. It is Mr. Otto. Mrs. Otto.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Or it's Tara through medical.
Through medical
willful
means.
Medical.
I think Tara negligence. Through willful medical means... is good because I think
she
that
has
that
done
calls,
defense before.
That calls back to yep. Gemma too, who came in with the Bible and the syringe. Yep. So, okay, well, I think those are some solid predictions for next week.
Yep.
And hey, listen, everybody out there, if you're listening to us, we know you're out there. We're looking mm-hmm. at the feed burner.
Yeah, we're watching our numbers.
Send
go,
us some listener mail. We love super fans. We love.
Well, right now
fans.
We have our number one fan. Will always be Bobby.
Bobby's our number one fan, but
I'm
we
a
got
very loyal
El Rojo,
person.
And
now we have two more,
we
Melissa.
Have two more, Melissa. And you guys are fantastic. We just love hearing from you. And Kurt, man, you were really delivering. This is, I mean,
thanks for giving us so much
call.
Fun.
We always talk about, Breaking Bad on this show because I love Breaking Bad so much. But I'm going to give you some points I'm not giving Breaking Bad. I'm saying Breaking Bad, great show, but it gets a little slow sometimes in the beginning, and you're kind of ramping up and hoping that things will get moving, and then you're stuck with a fly for
right.
all episode and stuff. This season, Kurt, you have not been wasting our time.
This
you have not been fucking around. We haven't been sitting around trying
coaster.
To get a fly out of the clubhouse. You know, we didn't go on any long road trips with Opie in his hat or anything. We are just like every episode has been bam, 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 bam,
yeah.
bam, and it's been so satisfying. And
yes.
And it makes it, you know, feel like we got a lot out of investing in these characters for three seasons to see this fourth one just really punch them in every vulnerability that we've seen build up, and it's just really been great. Been fantastic.
Yeah.
You know. So, well, until next time.
Yeah, I've got these, by the way, I just want to do a warning out there to the ladies. Costco is selling these pajamas and I haven't been able to get mine off today.
Well, I'll help you out with that a little bit later.
They're like stretchy, Jason. They're like stretchy velour and they're black with pink polka dots, and I also got an animal print one. And it's just they're amazing, and I'm just going to bed right.
Well, until next time, God save the Queen, the fascist regime.
You think you're gonna live your life alone, in darkness, in seclusion. Yeah, I know. You've been out there. Tried to mix with those animals, and it just left you full of humiliated confusion. So you stagger back home and wait for nothing. But the solitary refinement of your room spits you back out onto the street, and now you're desperate and in need of human contact. And then you meet me, and your whole world changes. Because everything I say is everything you've ever wanted to hear. So you drop all your defenses and you drop all your fears. And you trust me completely. I'm perfect in every way. pounds. I make you feel so strong and so powerful inside. You feel so lucky. But your ego obscures reality and you never bother to wonder why things are going so well. You wanna know why? 'Cause I'm a liar! Yeah, I'm a liar! I'll tear your mind out! I'll burn your soul! I'll turn you into me! I'll turn you into me! 'Cause I'm a liar! A liar! A liar! A liar! I'll hide behind a smile in understanding eyes. And I'll tell you things that you already know, so you can say, I really identify with you so much. And all the time that you're needing me is just the time that I'm bleeding you. Don't you get it yet? I'll come to you like an affliction, but I'll leave you like an addiction. You'll never forget me. You wanna know why? 'Cause I'm a liar. Yeah!